KMAN.
9:07 here at News Radio KMAN. I'm Andrew Shores, and this morning I'm joined by USD 378 Riley County Superintendent Cliff Williams and USD 384 Blue Valley Randolph Superintendent Brady Burton. And gentlemen, it's a pleasure to have both of you on the show this morning. Welcome to In Focus.
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, it's like I said, it's great to have you in here, and I know both of your schools, it's an active time of year. February, things beginning to pick back up after the start of the new half of the year. And Brady, I know this morning at Randolph, there's a music festival going on this morning.
Well, there is. And before I get into that, I just want to say, Andrew, I'm looking forward to going to the K-State game tonight and watching Dave announcing his wrestling mask. I think that'll be...
I got to get the mask first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not a guarantee. I haven't gotten approval for that yet.
Okay, well, we
but
hope
I,
so,
I did
Dave.
Send a text saying that I'd be willing to put on the mask to do the introductions,
okay.
The team introductions.
We'll look forward
course,
to it.
You know, the good thing is that it's dark.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
it'll be
light.
A good look for them.
It will. We do. We have our league is a Twin Valley league. We have 12 schools in our league, and primarily 1A, 2A schools. And we're hosting our leg music festival today at Blue Valley. And so that's quite an undertaking when you have 11 other schools plus yourself there. Actually our high school is out of school today. Most of the kids are either performing or helping with the festival today. The other buildings are in school. So that's going on there today. Andrew, a couple other local things I wanted to mention. This is a ways off, but our kindergarten roundup is coming up Thursday, March 30th at 6 p.m. at McCormick Elementary School in Olsburg at, I think, 6 p.m. But I wanted to mention the last few years our enrollment has been going up with our kindergartners. We've had 20-plus kids for the last two or three years, which is good for us. Probably our average class size has been about 14. Right now we have 23 preschoolers in preschool that will move into kindergarten next year. So not all of our kids are in preschool. So we're anticipating 23-plus in kindergarten next year, which will be a really big class for us. So we're going to have to maybe look at full-time para along in that class or something along that line.
Well, and as you move into budget season, I from my understanding with USD 383, for example, the kindergarten enrollment is a pretty big deal because that number can fluctuate, and you need to know, have a pretty good understanding, right, of how many students you're going to have coming in, just because, as you said, it means more staffing possibly if you have more students than you expect.
Well, it does, and I think we're going to talk about school possible finance bills later, but as of the last 2 years under the block grant, we've not gotten any extra money for extra students that we have in the district. And currently, we get half or 0.5 funding for our kindergartners. I know there's one finance bill out there that would fund kindergartners, you know, fully or at 100%. So, you know, those type of things, if we go back to a formula where we count kids, that would really help us with our budget for next year, too, if we had kids.
Well, and does Randolph have a full-time kindergarten, or is it just half-day?
No, we have full-time and have quite a while, and I think you do, too, don't you, Cliff?
That is correct. It's one of the best strategies we have going on right now in schools, and I think that even with tough budgets, you've seen school districts move to that venue just to help those kids get caught up and try to advance them.
Well, and I would assume 378 probably has a kindergarten roundup, too, don't you?
We do. Ours is coming in April. We unfortunately haven't seen that upswing in kindergartners right now. We've actually had a decline in our K-1-2, and so we're hoping that we see some more little ones. We've got an active preschool, and we've got great attendance. As a matter of fact, our board studied that last month, and we're trying to become more efficient in that. But it's a great opportunity that we provide for our families, and we even have a daycare at the end of that many working families are out of the communities. And it's great for them to know that their kids have a safe place to go after school, and it's very academic-based, and it's just a great head start for them.
Well, and how long has that been active? Because I would assume maybe that helps keep students in your district rather than, like you said, going to an area district where their parents may work.
I think it started back in about 1998, and it's kind of moved around the campus there a little bit as it's grown, but now it's got a trailer by itself. But it has been a huge benefit, and we're very fortunate that we can provide that, and we hope too that with more funding that, you know, we can expand and continue to grow.
Well, that would, I think everyone would like the funding and to continue to grow. And Brady, I know your high schoolers, they went to Scholars Bowl last weekend.
Thank you for bringing that up. Last weekend, they went to Santana, which it was a good jaunt. It was about, they left at 5 in the morning for a 1 o'clock meet. It was about a 4 or 5 hour drive. Santana is north of Liberal or southwest of Dodge City, so pretty long drive, but they end up third in the state. They were third last year, the year before too, and Ruth Hudson is their coach, and so we're real proud of that. Also want to mention, we don't have wrestling, we just have basketball. We get into sub-state next week. Our last regular season home game was last night, and next week we go to sub-state at Axtell, and so anyway, things are starting to wind up as far as spring sports.
Well, and I know state wrestling coming up as far as USD 378 goes, and regional wrestling, 3-2-1A. How did Riley County do?
We did well as a team. I believe we came out third place, and the kids worked hard, and we're very fortunate. We have 4 kids that qualified for state at Hayes. They'll be leaving Thursday for the event on Friday and Saturday, and I'd like to recognize those individuals. At 160 pounds, we have Wes March. 170 pounds, we have Mikey Wagner. At 126 pounds, we have Luke Richards. And in the heavyweight division at 285 pounds, we have Clay Reed. So we wish them luck out at Hayes. We know they'll represent Riley County Schools well. And I'd like to announce a few other things that are going on locally, like Brady there. It's hard to believe basketball is wrapping up. Thursday night is senior night. It's the last night for our seniors to be recognized. They get to play on our home court. And they, too, go to sub-state next week. We should have those announcements later today, if not tomorrow, what our seeds will be. Friday night at our grade school, we have a PTO showcase and the science fair. Those are always great opportunities to showcase what our kids have done in the classroom. And there's so many neat things that it's amazing what they can do when you just give them the opportunity to showcase those talents. We also have, in March, we've got our Spring Parent Teacher Conference coming up in the middle of the month, the 14th and the 15th, or excuse me, the 16th. We have spring break the week of the 20th. March 10th, we are hosting the MEL Art Contest at our high school. It's also the end of our third quarter, and so there's a lot of things that are coming to an end here, and it's hard to believe that, but that's part of the process. So Riley County Schools is very busy, just like Blue Valley.
Well, always a little bit of a morale booster, too, when you have things going on. It helps keep your kids in check, right, when they have something to look forward to.
Well, it does. And, you know, you usually start worrying about spring break and kids wanting to get out of school and the weather turning. And I think we've already started that the last week or two, Emily Cliff, with the 70-degree weather, and it's unbelievable.
That's not going to stick around very long, though, as we've heard this morning. You know, and I think we get into that time of the year, budget season is fast approaching. And I know before we went on the air this morning talking about there is quite a bit of activity in Topeka. For example, the governor probably vetoing, if not already vetoed, that income tax bill, which would have raised quite a bit of money. And that would have been some good news for our Kansas schools. And maybe just talk a little bit about that, because they're working on finding a financing formula and maybe trying to turn some of the tax laws around in Kansas. And Brady, I don't know your personal feelings or some of the information that you have, because I'm sure you're just a little bit more caught up on it than I am this morning.
Well, the tax bill was Senate Bill 2178 that last week both the House and Senate passed. And, you know, over the last several years, this tax bill came about 6 years ago when Governor Brownback was elected our governor. And it was his attempt to, by giving some of the small businesses a tax break and so on, and informing some of the corporations that they did with tax breaks, hoping to get more business and industry into Kansas, more people to move. It really hasn't worked that way, and we find ourselves every year our revenue dropping. And so the Senate and House finally passed the bill last week to do away with that, to go back pretty much like it was before this bill and this law was in effect. And once they did, the governor said he would veto it. Well, this morning, from what I understand, at 8:30 in his office at the Capitol, he was supposed to veto that bill. And so if he wouldn't have vetoed it, it was supposed to bring in about $1 billion in revenue over the next 2 years, Andrew. So, I don't know where we're going to find that. For this current budget year, we're still about $350,000 short of balancing this year's budget. Here a couple of weeks ago, they were going to debate a bill to cut school districts 5%. There were enough new legislators that were elected in November, new moderate Republicans and Democrats, that were behind not doing that. And so that didn't even get to the floor to be debated. So as of right now, there's not supposed to be any cuts for us in this current legislative session. So, there are some issues out there.
Well, and a 5% cut, I mean, it doesn't sound like that much, but that's money you've already planned to spend. And so when they start delaying payments like they're planning to and delaying some of the CAPERS funds and things like that, I would assume as a district superintendent that causes some logistical issues you weren't necessarily expecting back in last July. I don't know how that's affecting USD 378, Cliff, but I'm assuming that's something you're watching as well.
Oh, most definitely. That's right in the center of the radar there. And, you know, when we look at it, it's about $42,000 per percent. And so 5% adds up. We've seen some dialogue out there that's been as high as 8.56%. And so, you know, with our budget ending in June 30, you know, we're definitely concerned about that. And, you know, trying to make decisions as we look forward becomes very challenging for us when we work with our boards and our communities trying to understand where do we need to be in the next 3 years. And there's really no light out there right now to help us guide that, or no finality to it as well, to understand what do we have in front of us. And so, you know, like Brady said there, it had been a great relief there if that bill would have passed, that to know that we have some new revenue and that we have the ability to plan and to look forward and provide better services for kids. But right now the option we're looking at is looking at a cut. And it is really going to cut deep. I know for both of us, Brady and I have had multiple dialogues about this as well with other superintendents. And
well, and it may pose an issue. I know one thing that's really perked up my ears is there's a lot of legislators out there who are advocating for consolidation between our smaller districts. And who knows, later down the line, that may end up having some impact here in Riley County. And is that something you've heard any more about? Just because that's something I've heard from maybe more of the far right in the state leadership. But I know that's been a talking point for many education people.
You know, Andrew, from our standpoint, or Blue Valley is the smallest district in the county. We really haven't. You hear that talk on and off, but I really haven't heard anything, you know, currently about any, consolidation coming up, other than if that's something the district or districts wanted to do themselves. I don't know about what you've been hearing, Cliff, but I haven't heard that that's been any issue here.
You know, I'd echo the same thoughts. I know that, you know, there is always some rumors out there that, you know, is that the end game in this and what we're doing to try to continue to cut back on schools. And I think there'd be a lot to be thinking about in doing that. That would be something you'd do overnight. And as Brady said, you could do that. And there's been several schools up along the Highway 36 corridor that have gone that avenue to try to maintain the services that they have for kids. You know, and ultimately, I mean, that's what's going to happen. We continue to cut those kids, and it does impact them. We're looking at the state as a whole at our data, and it continues to decline as we do not provide the funding. We've seen a one-to-one correlation in increasing students' efforts and their performance based off the revenue that they provide.
Well, it looks like Dave has something to add to
this. It is official. The tax bill has been vetoed. Big surprise there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the things. It's going to be interesting to see now, because that did pass initially by the legislature with pretty strong support. It'll be interesting to see maybe if there will be a possible override, if they do have the votes to do that or not.
And Dave, I want to just say too, for our local area legislators, and I'm sure Cliff would echo this, they've been very supportive. And I haven't looked at who, if they all indeed voted for this, but without knowing them, I would assume they did, because they've been very supportive of education and Kansas in general, and what this tax plan, how it's impacted not only education, but all of us in Kansas.
Well, it's 9:22 here at News Radio KMAN, and we're going to go ahead and take our break, but you can give us a call if you have any questions or input, 785-537-1350. Of course, this morning, speaking with USD 378 Superintendent Cliff Williams and 384 Superintendent Brady Burton.
When catastrophe hits and you're